Welcome to Jenkins Church. If we would, let's bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. Welcome in Jesus, the light of the world. Someone would please pass out the regular registration cards back there, please. Someone, Deborah, would you pass out? Thank you. Announcements this morning. Any announcements? Ms. Sherry, I know you have one, so. Yes, Elizabeth. Okay, thank you. Chelsea?
I was going to get a
announcement?
This Friday night, we're going to start working on Christmas music, and we would love to have some more folks join us. We meet from 6 until 7, and we're out of here in a flash. In like a flash, out like a flash, and we have a lot of fun, and we'd love to have some help.
Yes. Send me your articles or anything you want in the newsletter to my email address, then I will put the newsletter together and we'll print it next Monday. So please, anything you want to put in the newsletter, send it to me on email.
Okay.
Welcome any visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors?
Well, we have some visitors over here that have been here before.
Ronnie, nice to meet you. Welcome to Jenkins. Okay.
Huh?
We. Okay. Additions or deletions to the prayer list?
Thank you.
special prayer request for Patrick. I've been there. I came back one time from Guatemala sick. I know what it is. So let's pray right now. Dear Lord, we want to lift up Patrick at this time. Heal him. Strengthen him. May all the test results be according to your will, but Lord, you know that we pray that everything will come out negative and that he will soon be back in our midst and that he will be able to continue his schoolwork. Pray for Chelsea as she ministers to him and the doctors and the nurses. So Lord, we just lift him up at this time. Also, Lord, we come today in praise and adoration. We invite you here, but we already know that you're here. Lord, we lift our hearts in worship and praise. May our songs be pleasing to you. May the meditations of our heart be lifted to your throne. Help us to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in here in our midst, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we might feel your presence and take that presence to the others in the world that know you not. So, Lord, we turn this service over to you and our lives. And, Lord, we close our prayer now as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I've been gone a couple of weeks, so please forgive me if I'm not up on the bulletin. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn 455. Come all Christians and be committed. Standing as we sing.
Come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives more, give more vision to your hearts with one accord. Of it too is more to gladness. Each is
verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
offertory sentence this morning is, Mighty God, you restore sight to the blind and bounty to the afflicted. You provide refuge for the lost and freedom for the condemned. Clean our mouths to cry out our needs and open our hearts to give forth our abundance. In Jesus' name, the name above all names. Amen. If our ushers would please come forward.
Meditating.
scripture reading is in the bulletin, Matthew 5, 38 through 45. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his son to rise at the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteousness and the unrighteousness. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Introduce Brother Royce Wallace. Oh, you're going to take care of this?
Yeah,
okay.
The Pope got a ride in a limousine, and he begged the driver to let him drive. And finally, the driver said, okay. And so the Pope got in and drove the limousine, and he got to speeding. So a policeman stopped him. And as soon as he saw the Pope, he went back to his patrol car and called in. And he said, I don't know what to do. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I've stopped this limousine. I don't know who the passenger is, but the Pope is driving him. So he must be God. Well, I'm Boyce's chauffeur for the week. We are going a lot of places. And Boyce is our new moderator. And you know that I was the moderator, and you're supposed to stand when he comes to the podium. But Boyce and I have been friends for 18 years now. I go down there and stay in his home in South America. He's been a missionary in Colombia, South America, for 47 years, along with his wife, Beth. They're dear friends of ours, and we just enjoy having him here with us this day to bring us our message. So if you will, please stand as the moderator of the General Assembly of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church comes to the podium. And yes, he's wearing my cross from last year.
Good morning. I hope you feel as blessed as I do this morning. This is the second time that I've been able to share with you in this year. And that's the first. And then the other thing is, it's been, I think it was 1968 was the last time I've seen fall, seen the changing of the leaves on the trees. And it's just beautiful. It reminds me of when I was pastor out from Murfreesboro at Mount Tabor in Jerusalem, and seeing those beautiful fall colors. So these are blessings for me this morning. The scripture we read this morning comes from the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a masterpiece of world literature, and we have reached our speech by it with such words as, blessed are the pure in heart, are blessed are the peacemakers. We also have other sayings that are not so positive, like an eye for an eye and a tooth for the tooth. Then we talk about loving our enemies as ourselves. All of these, of course, are radical what we call contra-culture expressions. And I would like to talk to you this morning about one of these, where he says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." All of us have some vague idea about what Jesus was talking about here, such as go out of your way to help someone. At this time, as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons, we start looking for ways to do that. From what I could get out of commentaries, there are two concepts or two meanings here that can be applied. One was, which many of you have heard, that of the Roman soldiers. They were carrying their heavy packs, and along the Roman road, they could force anyone who was a citizen of that country that Rome controlled, they could force them to take their packs 1 mile. And then the other one was that it refers to the postman, postal system, which worked in a similar way. The postman could force anyone on the road to carry his sack of scrolls for 1 mile while he rested. It must have expedited matters and made mail service faster in that day, and maybe we need to consider it today in our time. The New English Bible translates this: if a man of authority makes you go with him 1 mile, go with him too. This could refer either to a soldier or a postman. Now, this was not a popular measure in that day, and I can imagine seeing people who might live near the end of mile one, if that's how they did it in that day. I can see them, if they saw the postman or the soldier coming, hiding away, not because they'd be afraid they're going to have to take their pack with them. So as an unpopular measure, Jesus comes along and says, not only go with him 1 mile, take his pack, take his burden, his whatever he's carrying, but go with him 2 miles. Let's look a bit at that first mile. Now, before we can go the second mile, of course, we have to go the first mile. What we have said so far means that the first mile refers to a legal requirement placed on citizens of countries under Roman rule. So we can say that the first mile is no more or no less than to carry out our legal responsibilities. For us, it means our moral obligations to our families, to society, to the nation, and to our habitat. It did mean at one time in our society that you would be at work at a certain time and stay on the job until a certain time, and you were expected to produce so much also. Well, that may not be too much the case today, and it certainly isn't in California, unless you're an immigrant worker. Our grandson began working for Google with very few stipulations in his contract. I was surprised. In fact, he can use 20% of his time, as free time to do what he wants to do. Well, that sounds like good, and like you're getting a good deal. But Google knows that 50% of their new ideas come from those free hours of their employees. Okay, the first mile, then, is being honest in all of our relationships. Home, school, work, and government. It also means being responsible in church. Jesus said it well when he talked, when they brought him a coin with Caesar's image on it and says, what should we do about this? Should we pay tribute to Caesar, a foreign government official? And Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Now, we have a way of interpreting that. I have a coin here who doesn't have Caesar's image on it, but it's the image of George Washington. No, so they showed it to him. Now, many times we look at that and say, well, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, material things, material money, and to God what is God? Nothing. It's spiritual. It isn't material. Well, that's not the case. God asks us for our material things in life as well, beginning with the least, which is the tithe. The first mile is Christian stewardship. Steward is a word taken from the workforce and applied to church members. Paul wrote, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful or trustworthy. He was writing to the Corinthians, who really needed some advice on how to shape up. He was also writing to us because faithfulness and trustworthy are two scarce virtues the world looks for in us. Jesus made it very clear to the candidates for the kingdom of God that he's looking for good and faithful servants. When we come to the end, in that final judgment, these are the standards according to Matthew 25 and 26 that he is looking for. Christian stewardship means that we take seriously the Christian faith and life. It means that we take his word seriously as well. The guidelines he has set for us in the Bible are for real. The ignorance of these guidelines is unbelievable. Even the Ten Commandments are not known or paid attention to much in our world today. I became aware of this recently, as killings by teenagers have grown so much. We've had a number of these in Cali where we live. In fact, a pastor was killed after he finished his sermon, and he stepped down out of the pulpit, a teenager shot him down. This is an extreme case, but not too extreme. There are other places where this is happening as well. Well, what I want to say is this. These kids, when interviewed, they were caught and interviewed. They felt no feelings of guilt, no concern for the widows or the orphans left behind. They had no idea about, I guess, about the Ten Commandments. Greed and corruption are common among business people and government officials in our day. And honesty is not a popular virtue in modern society. There was a time when we felt responsible to protect public and private property. That has gone down the drain. Vandalism, theft, bribes, and global warming are daily reminders of our poor stewardship. Now, what does this all mean in the church? It begins with the tithe, as we mentioned before, and we would expect from this sermon. The Bible makes this clear in so many texts. Our salaries, pensions, commissions are special gifts from God. If we get one or more of them, we should be even more grateful as we live where unemployment has grown in recent years. Our stewardship in the church should be motivated by love and thanksgiving for God's gifts to us. The tithe, faithfulness, honesty, and thanksgiving for God's gifts are to be seen among Christians. These are the first miles. But so many Christians, sad to say, do not even make the first mile. We need to teach and remind ourselves that we need to go this first mile, which is no more than our Christian duties. Now let's look at the second mile. We've seen that the second mile is taking the load of others further than the law requires. But the rules of Jesus go beyond the laws of societal expectations. They have to do with love, compassion, grace, and generosity. As in the case of the Roman officials, it may be sacrifice of time, work, sweat, or money. But think also of the Roman soldier carrying his pack on a long journey. If you're a veteran, you know what it means and how it feels to take off your backpack after the forced march. Or think of the postman who finds someone to relieve him of his burden for an hour or so. Almost every day, second mile calls may come by phone, by email, at work, on the highway, around the corner, or in the grocery store for us. Each quarter, the missions ministry team sends out what are called second mile opportunities that are a list of projects that need attention, usually in another country. The idea of the second mile in our denomination was when the church has done, it's gone its first mile, then there are many projects which still have not been met. So they wanted to give us an opportunity to go that second mile in an organized way through the denomination. The team expects the churches will be moved by compassion for the needs of these projects, usually in other countries. These projects are above the budget of the local churches, which hopefully are funded by tithes and offerings of the members. There are a good number of the CP churches that have sent offerings and are sending offerings to help with the feeding kids in our hot lunchroom programs, helping kids with medical needs that are not available anywhere, scholarships, and then for Ogar Somatia, which is our new citizen Senior Citizen Center. By the way, they have now put the General Assembly moderator's travel expenses on the second mile list. You might want to consider that. We have had a number of Cumberland Presbyterians come to Columbia to help work on projects, and we continue to invite people to come down to help us. Many times they come on their vacation or ask for free time from their work. They sacrifice, usually 10 days to 2 weeks, from their families for time with Columbia. They usually return with calluses in their hands from hard work, as some of you know. Sam Sauver has been so generous with his time and with his help in bringing groups down and then working himself. And we appreciate this so much. So, when we think of a chapel being built in the jungle for Christians who live in poverty, or a lay pastor in a small village who wants to finish high school in town, but he does not have the money to pay for transportation. Or when we think of a young couple working in a mountain village that is almost surrounded by rebel army forces who need help to buy food and personal items to be able to witness to these enemies. When we think of a church in a high-risk area of Cali that needs help for a peace Bible school, when we think of a CP church in another part of Colombia controlled by the drug lords, and they need to finish their chapel, we see lay pastors struggling to get by, and a lay evangelist who want to reach out with the gospel but have no money for transportation nor literature, then we begin to appreciate just what we could be able to do. There are so many second miles out there in Colombia and other countries today. Second mile is going beyond the call of duty. It is stretching and straining. It is blessing and being blessed. The example of the Good Samaritan is helpful. You remember the story? Both the rabbi and the Levi were too busy with their religious duties to stop and help. They were going their first mile. But the Samaritan, who was just as busy, took time to administer first aid, which was his first mile. But then he went further. He placed himself in danger of thieves in the area and take the wounded man back to an inn for help. And he went even further. He left money for further expenses and a promise to pay whatever else was needed. Now, he could have excused himself on the basis of time, on the basis of danger or lack of money. But his compassion ruled his conduct in this case, and he went the second mile. Our second mile opportunism may not be that dramatic. It may be that gracious impulse for being extra generous to a good cause. It may be considering a second tithe or 20% of your income for the church. It could be doing something special for a family need. In your better moments, you have thought about launching some project or making a sizable contribution or including your will a certain cause that is helping to relieve suffering or care for the aged and others who have been abandoned. But too many of us are afraid to take that leap of love and faith, and our good impulses begin to chill and freeze. On finishing the first mile of duty, we have a sense of accomplishment. On doing a good and complete job, there is an inner reward of satisfaction. On doing our duty, we feel a sense of contentment and a clear conscience. This is good and important, but making the second mile is more than this. It brings an inner, rare joy that comes after the disgust of getting our hands dirty and bloody, as in the case of the Good Samaritan. There is a joy that comes after the pain of parting with a good chunk of money for a good cause. A joy that results after the pain of personal sacrifice. It is not easy to describe all these joys of walking a second mile. And so the best thing is to listen to the stories of personal experiences of second milers. No doubt, there are some here today who could tell their story of blessings received along the road. This morning, I would like to urge you to be faithful in going the first mile, and then you can go the second mile, and it'll be easier than you thought. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning to thank you for your word, which is always judging us, encouraging us, blessing us, guiding us, and trying to lead us in the right path. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this great Sermon on the Mount. And we realize that living according to your teachings can bring so many blessings to our lives as well as to others that we minister to. So Lord, deliver us from selfishness. Deliver us from being satisfied with the least we can get by with, and help us to go that second mile. We see so many needs and so many opportunities, and you're there wanting to lead us into these rich and blessed experiences. So we place ourselves in your hands. We dedicate our lives and our resources to you this morning, that we'll be instruments of blessing others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.